First part, question 103, divine government. Article 5, whether all things are subject to the divine government. St. Augustine says, not only heaven and earth, not only man and angel, even the bowels of the lowest animal, even the wing of the bird, the flower of the plant, the leaf of the tree, hath God endowed with every fitting detail of their nature. Therefore all things are subject to his government. For the same reason is God the ruler of things as he is their cause, because the same gives existence as gives perfection, and this belongs to government. Now God is the cause not indeed only of some particular kind of being, but of the whole universal being. Wherefore, as there can be nothing which is not created by God, so there can be nothing which is not subject to his government. This can also be proved from the nature of the end of government. For a man's government extends over all those things which come under the end of his government. Now the end of the divine government is the divine goodness. Wherefore, as there can be nothing that is not ordered to the divine goodness as its end, so it is impossible for anything to escape from the divine government. Foolish, therefore, was the opinion of those who said that the corruptible lower world, or individual things, or even that human affairs were not subject to the divine government. First objection. It would seem that not all things are subject to the divine government. For it is written in Ecclesiastes 9:11, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the learned, nor favor to the skillful, but time and chance in all. But things subject to the divine government are not ruled by chance. Therefore those things which are under the sun are not subject to the divine government. Reply to the first objection. These things are said to be under the sun, which are generated and corrupted according to the sun's movement. In all such things we find chance. Not that everything is casual which occurs in such things, but that in each one there is an element of chance. And the very fact that an element of chance is found in those things proves that they are subject to government of some kind. For unless corruptible things were governed by a higher being, they would tend to nothing definite, especially those which possess no kind of knowledge, so that nothing would happen unintentionally, which constitutes the nature of chance. Wherefore, to show how things happen by chance, and yet according to the ordering of a higher cause, he does not say absolutely that he observes chance in all things, but time and chance, that is to say, that defects may be found in these things according to some order of time. Second objection. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:9, God hath no care for oxen. But he that governs has care for all things he governs, therefore all things are not subject to the divine government. Reply to the second objection. Government implies a certain change effected by the governor in the things governed. Now every movement is the act of a movable thing, caused by the moving principle, and every act is proportionate to that of which it is an act. Consequently, various movable things must be moved variously, even as regards movement by one and the same mover. Thus, by the one art of the divine governor, various things are variously governed according to their variety. Some, according to their nature, act of themselves, having dominion over their actions. And these are governed by God, not only in that they are moved by God himself, who works in them interiorly, but also in that they are induced by him to do good and to fly from evil, by precepts and prohibitions, rewards and punishments. But irrational creatures which do not act but are acted upon are not thus governed by God. Hence when the apostle says that God hath no care for oxen, he does not wholly withdraw them from the divine government, but only as regards the way in which rational creatures are governed. Third objection. What can govern itself needs not to be governed by another, but the rational creature can govern itself, since it is master of its own act and acts of itself. Therefore all things are not subject to the divine government. Reply to the third objection. The rational creature governs itself by its intellect and will, both of which require to be governed and perfected by the divine intellect and will. Therefore, above the government whereby the rational creature governs itself as master of its own act, it requires to be governed by God. Article 6. Whether all things are immediately governed by God. In government there are two things to be considered: the design of government, which is providence itself, and the execution of the design. As to the design of government, God governs all things immediately, whereas in its execution, he governs some things by means of others. The reason of this is that as God is the very essence of goodness, so everything must be attributed to God in its highest degree of goodness. Now the highest degree of goodness in any practical order, design, or knowledge consists in knowing the individuals acted upon, as the best physician is not the one who can only give his attention to general principles, but who can consider the least details. Therefore, we must say that God has the design of the government of all things, even of the very least. But since things which are governed should be brought to perfection by government, this government will be so much the better in the degree the things governed are brought to perfection. Now it is a greater perfection for a thing to be good in itself, and also the cause of goodness in others. Therefore God so governs things that he makes some of them to be causes of others in government, as a master who not only imparts knowledge to his pupils, but gives also the faculty of teaching others. First objection. It would seem that all things are governed by God immediately. For St. Gregory of Nyssa reproves the opinion of Plato, who divides providence into three parts. The first he ascribes to the supreme God who watches over heavenly things and all universals. The second providence he attributes to the secondary deities who go the round of the heavens to watch over generation and corruption, while he ascribes a third providence to certain spirits who are guardians on earth of human actions. Therefore it seems that all things are immediately governed by God. Reply to the first objection. Plato's opinion is to be rejected because he held that God did not govern all things immediately, even in the design of government. This is clear from the fact that he divided providence, which is the design of government, into three parts. Second objection. It is better that a thing be done by one, if possible, than by many, as Aristotle says. But God can by himself govern all things without any intermediary cause. Therefore, it seems that he governs all things immediately. Reply to the second objection. If God governed alone, things would be deprived of the perfection of causality. Third objection. In God, nothing is defective or imperfect. But it seems to be imperfect in a ruler to govern by means of others. Thus, an earthly king, by reason of his not being able to do everything himself, and because he cannot be everywhere at the same time, requires to govern by means of ministers. Therefore, God governs all things immediately. Reply to the third objection. That an earthly king should have ministers to execute his laws is a sign not only of his being imperfect, but also of his dignity, because by the ordering of ministers, the kingly power is brought into greater evidence. Article 7. Whether anything can happen outside the order of the divine government. It is written in Esther 13:9, O Lord, Lord Almighty King, all things are in thy power, and there is none that can resist thy will. It is possible for an effect to result outside the order of some particular cause, but not outside the order of the universal cause. The reason of this is that no effect results outside the order of a particular cause, except through some other impeding cause, which other cause must itself be reduced to the first universal cause, as indigestion may occur outside the order of the nutritive power by some such impediment as the coarseness of the food, which again is to be ascribed to some other cause, and so on till we come to the first universal cause. Therefore, as God is the first universal cause, not of one genus only, but of all being in general, it is impossible for anything to occur outside the order of the divine government. But from the very fact that from one point of view something seems to evade the order of divine providence considered in regard to one particular cause, it must necessarily come back to that order as regards some other cause. First objection. It would seem possible that something may occur outside the order of the divine government. For Boethius says that God disposes all for good. Therefore, if nothing happens outside the order of the divine government, it would follow that no evil exists. Reply to the first objection. There is nothing wholly evil in the world, for evil is ever founded on good. Therefore, something is said to be evil through its escaping from the order of some particular good. If it wholly escaped from the order of the divine government, it would wholly cease to exist. Second objection. Nothing that is in accordance with the preordination of a ruler occurs by chance. Therefore, if nothing occurs outside the order of the divine government, it follows that there is nothing fortuitous and casual. Reply to the second objection. Things are said to be fortuitous as regards some particular cause, from the order of which they escape. But as to the order of divine providence, nothing in the world happens by chance, as St. Augustine declares. Third objection. The order of divine providence is certain and unchangeable, because it is in accordance with the eternal design. Therefore, if nothing happens outside the order of the divine government, it follows that all things happen by necessity and nothing is contingent, which is false. Therefore, it is possible for something to occur outside the order of the divine government. Reply to the third objection. Certain effects are said to be contingent as compared to their proximate causes, which may fail in their effects, and not as though anything could happen entirely outside the order of divine government. The very fact that something occurs outside the order of some proximate cause is owing to some other cause, itself subject to the divine government. Article 8. Whether anything can resist the order of the divine government. Boethius says, there is nothing that can desire or is able to resist the sovereign good. It is this sovereign good, therefore, that ruleth all mightily and ordereth all sweetly, as is said of divine wisdom. We may consider the order of divine providence in two ways. In general, inasmuch as it proceeds from the governing cause of all, and in particular, inasmuch as it proceeds from some particular cause which executes the order of the divine government. Considered in the first way, nothing can resist the order of the divine government. This can be proved in two ways. Firstly, from the fact that the order of the divine government is wholly directed to good, and everything by its own operation and effort tends to good only, for no one acts intending evil, as Dionysius says. Secondly, from the fact that every inclination of anything, whether natural or voluntary, is nothing but a kind of impression from the first mover, as the inclination of the arrow towards a fixed point is nothing but an impulse received from the archer. Wherefore every agent, whether natural or free, attains to its divinely appointed end, as though of its own accord. For this reason God is said to order all things sweetly. First objection. It would seem possible that some resistance can be made to the order of the divine government. For it is written in Isaiah 3:8, their tongue and their devices are against the Lord. Reply to the first objection. Some are said to think or speak or act against God, not that they entirely resist the order of the divine government, for even the sinner intends the attainment of a certain good, but because they resist some particular good which belongs to their nature or state. Therefore they are justly punished by God. Second objection. A king does not justly punish those who do not rebel against his commands. Therefore, if no one rebelled against God's commands, no one would be justly punished by God. The reply to the second objection is clear from the preceding explanations. Third objection. Everything is subject to the order of the divine government, but some things oppose others. Therefore, some things rebel against the order of the divine government. Reply to the third objection. From the fact that one thing opposes another, it follows that some one thing can resist the order of a particular cause, but not that order which depends on the universal cause of all things.